Morning. Okay, good morning. I could have used the ear mic this morning, but I found out I would have had to take off my earrings, so I said, no, I'm just going to hold mine instead. So let's look at our Proverbs 31 friend again this morning. Are you enjoying the study? Is it what you thought? No? Not at all, which is great. Okay, there's several verses here. I'm just going to focus on one this morning, but I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Means she makes her bed every day. I've already failed there. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Is your husband respected because of you? This morning, that's all I'm going to ask on that one. How do you speak about him to other people? Okay. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. I want to focus on verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. How many of you have looked in your closet on a given day with your 18 sweaters and your 5 pairs of blue jeans and 6 black pairs of shoes all in different sizes and said, I have nothing to wear? When we're getting ready for our day, what do? Unless we're sick in bed, we usually get up, put on some clothes, freshen up a little bit, make sure we have a little bit of something on our face and do our hair a little bit. We dress for the occasion and we make sure that what we're wearing is appropriate for what we're going to be doing. I have been known to go to the grocery store without makeup and in my workout clothes, but at least I have shoes on and hope I don't run into anybody I know. Invariably I do, and it's usually the mom that's dressed to the nines and skinny weeny and perfectly coiffed, and here I am looking like I just got out of bed. But at least I'm up and have my shoes on. When I approach my day with purpose and I get up and I dress and I comb my hair, I put on something on my face and I'm ready for what comes, I feel differently about myself. Would you agree? On the days where I just jump out of bed and I'm in my sweats all day till noon, I feel differently about myself. I'm prepared for the interruptions, that unexpected knock at the door that I wasn't planning on having, the quick trip to the store or meeting my neighbor at the mailbox. I'm prepared when I'm dressed appropriately. Our verse today speaks about our favorite lady and how she clothes herself and how that impacts her and her family. It's not a physical wardrobe, though. It's a deep core of who she is. And today we're going to look at confidence and why we can have confidence regardless of what's happening in our life, the season of life we're in, who lives in our household, what circumstances we find ourselves in, we can have confidence. And so we see, first of all, from our verse, that confidence comes from being dressed properly. She is clothed with strength and dignity. We see here that our friend is a woman who wears strength and dignity as if it's an outfit. And she purposes in her heart every day to put on strength and dignity. It's an interesting word, purpose. It's an intentional word. It's an on-purpose word. Just as you have a choice each day whether you will get dressed and what you'll put on, so as women, we can choose. It's a powerful word, choice. We can choose what to clothe ourselves with to face our present circumstances. So what is this strength that we're to have? There's several definitions for the word strength, and it gives us a broad scope of what the word means. Not just the physical ability, but mental power, force, or vigor. So it's up here. It's in our head. Another definition says moral power firmness or courage. That's in here. So it's a word that affects my mind. It's a word that affects my heart. A third definition says the capacity of an object or substance to withstand great force or pressure. It's a matter of the will as well. Matthew Henry commentary says this about our Proverbs 31 woman. She has a firm and positive spirit that will endure many crosses and disappointments, and this is her clothing. Endurance. Our woman of strength puts on conviction, courage. She has the capacity to withstand whatever may come, and she will endure. One of those is hard. When you add all those definitions together, it's the totality of who we are, our heart, our mind, my will. Every day we need to purpose in our hearts to put on strength, a positive attitude, a firmness of spirit, and a resolve to do what God's called us to do today. There's another good word, resolve, another intentional word. That kind of moral toughness and courage doesn't just happen because you decide to be strong or because it's your personality. How do we withstand that pressure and strain and attack? If you have your Bibles this morning or share with someone, I'd like to look at 2 Samuel 22, and I'll give you a minute to find it. 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 22, verses 31 to 37. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with what? Strength. And makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. So it doesn't come from me. He is the one who is our strength that comes from the Lord. He's the one who determines our steps. He protects our hearts. He knows our pain. He has the plan. He provides the wisdom. He heals my hurts. So each day when we take our first steps, we can come to him and clothe ourselves with strength because we purpose in our hearts to lean on him for guidance. We check in with him on his plans. He's the one who defeats our enemies and plans our steps. That would build confidence, don't you think? Having someone like that in my corner builds confidence. That allows us to meet the challenges we face each day with confidence, knowing that whatever happens, he's got it. Doesn't make it easy. Doesn't mean there's no pain. Doesn't mean I don't get discouraged. Doesn't mean I don't fail, but there's a confidence, a deep down conviction that I'm covered and he's got my good in mind. What would strength look like in your home? If you rose each day and put on strength and dignity, what would be different in your household than it is right now? It's convicting for me. Usually my life falls apart the week I teach. Just saying. Yep. Anyway, so I had to ask myself, what would strength and dignity look like in my household right now? There's a calmness that comes with strength and dignity. There's a sense of peace. When you approach something with that moral purpose and a mental strength, when the unexpected happens, do you completely fall apart? Because that was not on the schedule. I have no idea what I'm doing. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Can your family count on you to be present with them in their times of need? Because you're confident of who you know. So I can be for you. When your husband loses his job, are you the calm in his storm or do you add to the stress? How do you respond when a relative comes to visit for longer than you'd planned? No one? Oh. Do you wear dignity and strength and an ability to handle it without complaining? What would strength and dignity look like when your teenager is making choices that you don't approve of? Do you purpose in your heart to take that to Jesus and then respond to them with restraint and prayer and dignified, remember, strength and dignity, dignified responses, or do you yell and accuse and belittle and punish? You think about what strength and dignity would look like in your home. Strength of character doesn't mean that we're never afraid, that we don't worry or get discouraged and the things that happen to us are hard. It does mean, though, that we have a core belief in God's ability to get us through anything. And we can help our families best by being present and available and confident and strong. When we moved several years ago, not here, but before we moved here, we made a move, and I was not happy with where we ended up. I mean, we said yes to the house, and we chose to live there. And all I could see, what I chose to see, was all the negative things. I didn't like that a retaining wall was my view. I didn't like that we were so far from everything, and the neighbors weren't friendly. I mean, I had my list. And I shared it often with my husband, even though I agreed to live there. Strength and dignity? You're nodding. Yeah. No, it was not strength and dignity. But one day in my quiet time, I was convicted in Scripture by a passage that I love that says that we don't lack anything if we're trusting the Lord. And I was like, huh, because all I see is lack. Which must mean, I'm not trusting the Lord. I was very convicted, and so my kids came down the stairs, and I wanted to share with them something that Mom was learning. And so I shared with them what God had told me and asked them to forgive me for my bad attitude as I humbly shared with them what God was teaching me. That is strength and dignity. Not because I was amazing and never complained. But I got to that point because I humbly came before God and I leaned into Jesus and I was honest with my kids. That's strength and dignity. What are you clothed with? What do you put on each day? Fear? Anxiety? Bitterness? Control? What do you choose to put on every day that will benefit your family and your walk with the Lord? But Tracy, I'm a worrier by nature. You know, see, I struggle with confidence. You don't understand my marital situation. I don't have a strong faith background, so that's hard. I don't have a strong personality. See, what we're talking about this morning has nothing to do with your personality. It has nothing to do with your life situation or the season of life you're in. It has nothing to do with the situation that you find yourself in or the people in your sphere of influence. Our Proverbs 31 friend clothed herself with strength and dignity. We don't know her personality. We don't know her walk with God. We don't know her giftedness or her disposition. But we do know that she chose to clothe herself with strength and dignity. That's what people see, is what we're clothed with. You don't see my heart this morning. You don't see if there's issues at home or what I'm struggling with my kids or if there's an illness in the family. You don't see my dreams. But you do see what I'm wearing. It's fabulous, wouldn't you say? No. And it, as it is with this, in our walk with God, what do people see about you? It's not faking it, because what's on the inside will come out. What do people see? Do they see strength and dignity? If it's not based then on our circumstances or our personality, where does it come from? And we can only do this in the power of the Lord Jesus. And that leads us to the second part of our verse, which says, she can laugh at the days ahead. So our woman is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days ahead. So number two is confidence comes from knowing who's in charge. Laughing at the days ahead means both knowing that the end will come someday, that death is sure for all of us, and it's not fearing that, not fearing old age, so there's that, but it's also a firm understanding of the Lord's control over my future days. Jeremiah 29:11, a verse many of us know, says, I know the plans I have for you. So he's got it covered. He knows my today and my tomorrow and my retirement years and my passing. He knows all that. So it builds confidence because I can know who's in charge. And there's two parts of that. First of all, that means we don't have to fear the future. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26 says, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. It's so easy when we look around us today and we see all the wrong that's not just happening, but that isn't corrected and made right, and how evil wins so many times. It's easy to get discouraged and forget that he's protecting us and his plans for our future will win, that in the middle of all the junk that's going on, he has a plan for me that will prosper me and be for my good. My son's a junior in high school, and he's a baseball player, and he's been heavily recruited to play baseball in college. It's been a very fun journey. We've been visiting schools this fall, forming opinions about what that looks like and the best places to go, what would be best for him. I've been forming opinions about what would be best for him. Sharing with him along the way, but ultimately knowing in large part it will be his choice. He's the baseball player, and the kind of school that I would like for him may not be what he wants for him. I've had much fear about this choice, because I have my opinions and my desires for him, and they aren't necessarily his opinions and his desires for him. And I think control as a parent is really hard to let go of. Because what if they make a mistake? What if they don't choose well? That's where my strength and dignity kind of doesn't show up sometimes. I have stayed up at night, because that always helps. Worrying. I have found the problem still there in the morning, but I do it anyway. I've thought and thought and thought about how little control I have. I'm trusting God to guide, but what if it's not the outcome that I want? I've said that too. Lord, I believe you, I trust you, but please make it be this. Okay? Giving up control and trusting the Lord to lead, which may mean a different path than I would choose, has been an interesting journey, to say the least, this fall. If I believe the verse I just read, Proverbs 3, 25 and 26 for Josh, that the Lord will be his confidence and will keep his foot from being ensnared, then I have to laugh at the days ahead. This isn't a ha 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 because someone died. It's not a, oh well, if something happens. It's not a laughing physically, but I can rest that whatever may come is taken care of. That's a choice, to rest. It's a choice. I have to trust that he knows my son's perfect future, and it may not be mine. That's what laughing at the days ahead has meant for me. It means let it go, Tracy. Be part of the process. Enjoy the journey. Stay on your knees. Give meaningful and timely advice. Love a lot. And then get out of the way. Because I have a plan for Josh. I haven't even shared it with you, Mom. But I have a plan for him. Do you trust me for him? The end of this story is that Josh did choose a school a couple weeks ago. And in the process, God changed our hearts, my husband and I, to be on board and not just support, but to be fully in agreement together that this is where he should go. So he committed to University of Arizona to play baseball in 2 years. And God came alongside me in my mom heart. This is what I love about Jesus. He doesn't just say, oh, get over yourself. Trust me and just get over yourself. He comes alongside me and knows what my fears are. That he's going to be in this big, huge school when I wanted maybe a little smaller, slightly Christian environment for him. I don't think that's there. University of Arizona. Big school. Lots could go wrong. And you know what I found out in our weekend? The head coach is a believer. And the assistant coach is a believer. And they're looking at getting a chaplain, and the athletic director's on board with them, maybe having a Bible study with the team. And two of the boys that he hung out with over the weekend that will be juniors when he's there, they go to church every week. And God came alongside and he said, I got this, Trace. Trust me. I said, okay. And you know, I no longer fear for the future of my son at a big secular university where a lot could go wrong. Because one, I know a lot could go wrong, and God knows that too. But he's writing Josh's story. And maybe he'll use him at University of Arizona for his kingdom. Maybe Josh needs to be there for someone else to come to Jesus. I don't know. That's my confidence, because God showed up in very specific ways. He didn't poo-poo my mom fears and discipline me for not trusting. He came alongside, wrapped his arms around me, and answered every prayer I had. That builds confidence that he'll do it again. Ask me in 2 years when he goes there if I still feel the same, but for now, I feel that. Secondly, not only can we be not afraid of our future, but we can approach him with anything. And I haven't written out the verses for you, but I am going to share them with you. You can look them up on your own. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We can come directly to him. We don't have to go through anyone else. He says, come to me, you and me together. You can come to me. 1 John 5:11 through 15. When we know Jesus and have accepted him into our hearts and obey his commands, 1 John says that we can have assurance that when we come to him, he hears us and will answer our prayers. Now, it may not look like an answer to you, but he does answer our prayers, and he hears us. God heard me in my fears, and he answered in ways that I never expected. Hebrews 4:14 through 16, we can have confidence coming before God because he knows us and can sympathize with our grief and our fears and our needs, and he hears us. Those are just some passages that talk about the assurance that we can have and why we can laugh at the days ahead, because he hears me. He sees me. He knows me. If we're followers of Jesus and we have believed him as our Savior, we can have confidence in coming to him with any worry or concern, because not only do we know him and he has called us friends, but we know that whatever we ask, he will answer. That's laughing at the days ahead. It doesn't matter what happens here or who happens here or what is unknown or messed up, because I know Another powerful word. I know. Because he's promised. He will be with me. He will hear me. All the verses we've looked at. I can have confidence because I know. In my growing old, in my future unknowns, in my less than perfect now, in my failures, I have confidence that he will take care of it all. And someday all of this will be fixed. I know. There's nothing more attractive than a woman who lives with confidence. Not arrogance, not snarky, not lording it over. That's not what we're talking about. There's a quiet confidence that I am there for you as a friend. I'm available and present and supportive of my husband. I can help my kids because I know. When you know the one who is faithful, that comes with a deep relationship with Jesus. We don't have confidence in people we've just met or someone that we just meet once a week for coffee. We don't have confidence in those that let us down on a regular basis or break their promises or hurt our feelings. But as women of God who love Jesus, we are invited to come before the King of the universe. He calls us friends, remember? Anytime we want to, with any concern, and he will hear us. He will answer us. He will provide the wisdom we need. But knowing that Jesus will do those things and having a deep relationship are two different things. Meeting him on Sunday for church or coming to Bible study once a week does not build the confidence in who Jesus is to do what we're talking about. That comes in daily walking with someone. I have friends I know I can call up who will do something for me, but they're not my heart friends. You know what I mean? Those are the people I've walked with in my journey, who I've shared with, that I call when it's not convenient, and they've helped me when it's not convenient. As it is with Jesus, it takes a deep relationship with this person to build the confidence that we're talking about. He comes to us and says, I know your days ahead. I have them planned out. I know how long you'll live. I know what's coming. I know what situations cause you grief and concern and the ones that bring you joy. And I want to walk with you today. That's where our strength comes from as Proverbs 31 women. We move forward in our days and our months and our years, leaning on the one who knows it all, who made us, who forgives my many, many, many sins. And he's coming again someday. That's confidence, ladies. My daughter, Katie, had an eye issue recently, and so she needed some drops to dilate her eyes, and he said it'd be a couple days before it'd be a little blurry and sensitive to light. And so we came to church that Sunday, and they were still that way. They still hurt with the light. And so during worship, because of the lighting and everything, she closed her eyes because they were still sensitive. But she could still sing all the songs because she knows them. She sung them many times before. That's the same way it is when we have a deep relationship with Jesus, and it's why we can have confidence. And it's why it has nothing to do with me, my personality, my giftedness, my spouse, my kids, the neighborhood I live in. None of that is what provides the confidence. Life gets blurry often with unmet expectations. Conflicts that arise, daily struggles at home. Sometimes we may feel fully blind because we don't know what's coming and we've been broadsided by something, a tragedy, disease, or a relationship. But we can laugh at the days to come because we know the words. We've sung this song before. I don't have to see to know who's in charge and that he is faithful when I don't understand, because I've sung this song before. I've been in his word. I talk to him daily. I ask him for help. I ask for guidance on what to do. So when things come that knock me off my feet, I can have confidence because I know who's in charge, because I've sung this song before. That's what it means to laugh at the days ahead. Because while it may be sad and difficult here, and we all have stuff, and sometimes we're knocked out for quite a while, things go on and on and on. Some things are never resolved this side of heaven. But we can still be confident because we know the one who knows, and he has it covered. Are we women of confidence? Regardless of our personality, our season of life, our family status, our health issues, our life circumstances, we see from Proverbs 31 that we're to live with dignity and strength, recognizing the days ahead are in God's faithful hands and he will make it so. Not strength in my abilities to make it better, or my determination, or my parenting skills, or my degree, or my experience. But strength that comes in relationship with a loving God who sees me and my life, and he promises to walk with me if I trust him. That allows me to actually sleep better at night. I've slept a lot better because God answered some specific prayers for me. That allows me to carry myself with grace and a calm and a deep confidence that creates peace in my home and that is seen by other people. Because as we'll see in a couple weeks, she's praised at the city gate. So all these things we've talked about in Proverbs already, how she makes her own clothes and she sells to the merchants and she's this and she's this and she's this. She does all of that with strength and dignity and a confidence in who knows. And I want to close with a passage, you can just listen, in Hebrews that sums this up. I'm going to change brothers to sisters for you all this morning. Therefore, sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised will do it once in a while. He who promised may or may not come through for you. He who promised is faithful. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Ladies, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if she shrinks back, I will not be pleased with her. But we are not of those who shrink back. We are and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And you can live that way with perseverance because he who said it is faithful. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises that you've given to us. I pray that we would remember them, that we will soak them in, that we will ask you to show us, what does this verse mean for me today? Because you come alongside and you are wanting to show us that. You are wanting to be more than we allow you to be. And Father, I pray this morning that we will look at those areas, and I have them too, where we haven't been very dignified and we don't live our lives with strength, and to understand why that is and to ask you to change us from the inside out. so that our confidence for our daily duties, for the hard things, for the trials, for the responsibilities we weren't expecting, we can do all that and come honestly before you and say, I can't do this, I don't know how to do this, I don't want to do this, but Father, would you come and help me? Because I know you love me, and you have promised, therefore you are faithful to do it. Thank you so much that we can have confidence, that we aren't just, this isn't a guessing game, that we don't have to figure it out on our own, that you've given us the path and the rule book in our Bibles to read and understand who you are. Would you change us today, maybe leave differently than when we came? Thank you for our Proverbs 31 woman who seems perfect to us, and yet I believe she was just living her daily life to the glory of God and in the confidence and strength that you provide. And we can do that too, whether we make our bed or not. In Jesus' name, amen.